So let me continue with two next ingredients, Anubhava and Satikabhava. And then we will have only Vyabhichari and Stai Bhava. Vyabhichari Bhava is a lot of interesting emotions. We'll discuss them a little later. And Anubhava are the actions that a person decides to do when there is Vibhava, so when there is the cause of ecstasy. So when there is the person, there is the rasa, and then there is and so he is directing his emotions onto Vishaya or Krishna. Yesterday we discussed different uddipanas. So again, the first ingredient is Vibhava. Basically, this is the it is the shelter or the basis for all of this. Krishna is the as the object and devotee as the source. So Krishna is the object. We discussed 64 qualities and four characters and four qualities of great personalities. Then there are uddipanas, which are stimulants, which stimulate the emotions. And so we had qualities of body, speech and mind, of different ages, and beauty. So we had this discussion yesterday. And today we begin chapter 27, which is called Symptoms of Ecstatic Love. Prabhupada is saying, the bodily symptoms manifested by a devotee in expressing ecstatic love for Krishna are called Anubhava. So symptoms meaning not just some isolated sign, but an action of the body. This is Anubhava. So you experience Bhava and then there is Anubhava, or what you do. So Prabhupada is saying, practical examples of Anubhava are as follows. Dancing, rolling on the ground, singing very loudly, stretching the body, crying loudly, yawning. I don't know yawning, why yawning would be a symptom of ecstasy, but sometimes when someone is nervous, one is sometimes also is yawning, right? It may have some. Breathing very heavily, neglecting the presence of others, drooling, laughing like a madman, then wheeling the head and belching. It says belching. Well, belching will be a symptom of ecstasy after good feast sometimes. But here we speak about rasa, so it's actually not belching, it's hiccuping. Hiccups, you know. This. So this is what is meant here. So these are some of the anubhavas. When there is an extraordinary excess of ecstatic love with all of these bodily symptoms manifested, one feels relieved transcendentally. So in other words, one is overwhelmed with emotion, and then one wants to do something. And then when one does it, he both expresses this emotion and feels satisfaction or relief. Yes, when some friends meet or the parents meet the child, or you know they want to embrace. Yes, and so this embrace is the anubhava. It expresses their emotion. It increases their emotion, it gives them satisfaction, and this itself is also a part of the emotion. So like this embrace or some other activity that you do. So something that you do. And then Prabhupada is saying these symptoms are divided into two parts. One is called Shita and the other is called Kshepana. Shita means cool and Kshepana means throwing. Shita are the symptoms where you don't move much. So when you are mostly in one space. So this is Shita. So this is Gita, singing loudly, Drimbana, yawning. Maybe one meaning of this yawning would be just, being agape. like this, I don't know, being surprised. Shvasa Bhuma, breathing heavily. Loka Anapekshita, neglecting the presence of others. Then Lala Srava, foaming at the mouth. Hunkara, it's roaring. And two are rare, Raktodgama, bleeding. So someone bleeds in ecstasy. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was doing this sometimes. And Utpula, swelling of the limbs. So these are rare. Whereas the other one, Kshepana, it's manifest with some great bodily motion. So this is Nritya, dancing, you start dancing. Were you ever dancing in ecstasy? Then Vilutita, rolling on the ground. Did you roll on the ground? Well, we come to Vrindavan and then I remember on Rajamandala Parikrama we went to, where did we come? We went to some place where there was a big kirtan and Jayapataka Maharaj very solemnly explained that this is the proper place to roll on the ground. So he all rolled on the ground because just to smear our body. Of course it was not maybe complete ecstasy, but sometimes one is overwhelmed and one wants to touch the ground, and you just come to Vrindavan or come to the Yamuna, yes, and you want to touch the dust. Then Tanumotana, stretching the body. Kroshana, crying loudly. So interesting. So here we have singing loudly is cool, but crying loudly is kshepana. So it's apparently you not only cry, you also, I don't know, jump or something. Attahasa, laughing like a madman. And then staggering or wheeling of the head, or dizziness, something. And in Sanskrit it's called hikka. So hikka means how do you say hiccups in Slovenian? Kolce. In Ukrainian it's called hikovka. Hikka, the same word, same as in English, hiccups. So these are two categories. But of course this is not all, there are many other activities like smelling the head, it's a traditional expression of fatherly love in Vedic society. So when Krishna comes to Nanda Maharaj, then Nanda Maharaj will smell the head of Krishna. And some other things, I don't know, maybe going to the kitchen cooking, or you know, you can read whatever one does. Offering prayers can be an anubhava, so you start offering prayers. So in other words, this is some action that you do. You feel ecstasy and you decide you want to do something, and you do it. Kissing is another action, and approaching or running to meet somebody, this will be an action. Yeah, so these are all anubhavas, these are all some actions that follow the vibhava, follow the stirring of the rasa. And then Prabhupada gives some examples here. So these are what follows will be the examples mostly of devotees. So in the previous, in the Vibhava part, which we were studying up till this moment, we were very much focusing on Krishna, on Krishna and on his qualities and different udipanas. Now we will see more how this rasa is playing, how the rasa is dancing in the devotee. So the first anubhava is dancing. Is dancing, and the example is given of Lord Shiva, who started dancing when he saw Rasa dance. he started dancing and playing his dindim drum. Maybe you have seen this in India. It's like, you know, with two balls, you shake it like this, and then it does. So he's dancing, and he was dancing in such an ecstasy that his eldest son Ganesha joined him. So they both started dancing. Then the next one is rolling on the ground. And who is our famous person who was rolling on the ground? And Akrura, yes. So here we have a quote from the third canto mentioned, where Vidura is asking Uddhava about Akrura and mentions that he rolled in after seeing Krishna's footprints. He rolled on the ground seeing Krishna's footprints. And so this is one that can be easily imitated. Yes, rolling on the ground. You just, you know, fall on the ground and roll. you can also see this in dancing. Yes, yeah. This is actually, it's very interesting when you are in Vrindavan around this time or a little early for Janmashtami. You can see so many people are coming, and especially villagers. So many villagers are coming, and from all over Vraj, and some of them are walking for many many kilometers. And then you can see they come to the temple. They see the deities. They hear the kirtan, and they cannot control themselves. They start dancing, you know, and both men and women, they all start dancing. Women sometimes cover their head so you don't see who is that, but she's dancing in total ecstasy. Sometimes you can see some old baba in the Hindi sense, coming, you know, some sadhu is also dancing. And some of them you can see sometimes an old lady from somewhere will come, and then she will see the deities, and she will lie down and she will roll, and she does this again. Of course, she's happy, but also this is, you know, to touch the dust, to put the dust of the feet of the devotees on her body. So you can see that happening in Vrindavan. But some people, they will also want to imitate some of this, and this is one of the easy imitable things. And once some Indian gentleman came to the temple in Los Angeles, I think, and then there was a kirtan, and he fell in ecstasy, started rolling on the ground. So then they asked Srila Prabhupada immediately, you know, what do we do? You know, he's rolling on the ground. So Prabhupada said, you go and kick him. He said, what? So he said, if he's in ecstasy, he will not notice. And if he's not in ecstasy, then he will see that he cannot cheat. So devotees, you know, okay, Prabhupada said, they do. They come and kick him. So he got up and, you know, frowned and went away. So it didn't work. Because before Bhaktisiddhanta, it was very popular. You know, it was a circus. You know, it was a competition. Who will manifest more of these symptoms? And you know, some of these, and especially sattvika bhava. Sattvika bhavas, these you can do, but sattvika bhavas, the next item, they are involuntary, you know. Basically, they are reactions of the body, so it's more difficult to imitate. So those who can imitate those ones, you know, like crying and hair standing on end and these things like this, so these are real experts, you know. and there were sahajiyas who knew, who learned how to control their body in such a way.
We had also in Slovenia 100 years ago or something, Vodiška Juhansa, who perspired blood.
Yeah,
but this was fake, of course.
Fake. But the blood was real, or she was?
Yes, but it was a swine blood or something.
Oh, I see. She was smearing. Yeah. So, like you can read about, and so in Bengal they were having you know, one group would invite some kirtaniya, he would sing, and you can sometimes see them, you know, they are playing and they have long hair, they are, you know, waving the head, and they're in so much ecstasy. And then someone, you know, singing, and someone just falls and he's in ecstasy, in total ecstasy. And so then and the neighbor saw this, so he thought, well, I invite another one. So he invited another one. He said, look, this guy, that kirtaniya, he was for 5 minutes in, you know, in devastation, in pralaya, in ecstasy, stunned, lying unconscious. So look, can you go like for half an hour? You know, go into ecstasy. He says, okay, so how much do you give? He says, well, I give you five annas. It was, I don't know how much it is, half a paisa or some little amount of money. That was 100 years ago. Probably could buy maybe 2 kilos of rice or 5 kilos of rice for that. And so he, you know, he was singing and dancing and kirtan and everything, and then he fell down in ecstasy and lying. But unfortunately, he fell down not in the shadow but in the sun. You know, and the sun it was burning. So he lay down, you know, for in ecstasy for 5 or 10 minutes, and then he got up and then he started walking away. So he said, "Hey, where are you going? Where are you going? So why only so little?" And he said, "How much ecstasy do you expect for 5 annas? You know, after all." So of course, Bhaktisiddhantaji was very much against this. So much cheating was there, and therefore you can see in Bhaktisiddhanta's movement and in Prabhupada's movement, this is never encouraged, and because otherwise we will start, you know, competing in some strange ways. We will start developing some strange things.
He was also in Maribor-Nama Kata. During lecture, he fell down and nobody noticed him, and then he stand up and sit in the bathroom.
Yeah. Some people, it may happen that some people have such a nervous system that they cry easily. So I know some people, every kirtan they cry. That it's also happening. So it's not that they are imitating really, but that's how they are, you know. And Prabhupada, we know just a few cases when, you know, his voice broke, and one was famous when he came to Atlanta, when he said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful, and his voice broke. Another one during Jairada Madhava. So just a few instances like this we know when Prabhupada manifested this. Otherwise, so this is a, you know, we are judging by more reliable symptoms, by the activity of the person, what the person does. Otherwise, you know, if we will be learning these things, I know my friend was telling me, anyway, we'll get to this a little later when we get to the sattvika bhavas, I'm sure.
Can I ask this not towards Krishna, but when, like, dear God brothers leaves, like our Guru Maharajas also have this kind of a crying and so on, could this also be counted on this anubhav?
Well, okay, so when somebody goes, I mean, somebody visited, Guru Maharaj visited, then he leaves, and then you're crying. Leaves the body.
Yeah.
Oh, leaves the body.
And then, at least I observed that they are very stressed, you know, actually,
yeah.
Very strong emotions.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this, I guess this will be, you know, there will be some vyabhichari which will move to some anubhava, and yeah, that could be sattvika, some sattvika bhava, sattvika transformation. How transcendental this is, it depends on the person. Because you see, this is description of rasa, and all of these symptoms can be experienced also with some other vibhava when the object is not Krishna. As we discussed it, Vaikuntha rasa and Svargiya rasa are the same. the same 12. So like a drama or a movie, it's the same thing. These are the same symptoms. But whether it's transcendental or not is whether the object is Krishna and Krishna's devotees and whether I am a devotee. Yes. So that will determine how much it is actually transcendental rasa. Yes. So it can be some reflection or it can be real. So Prabhupada wrote to one devotee, some devotee from England, he wrote to Srila Prabhupada that I experienced this and this, and then Prabhupada said, yeah, these are the symptoms of bhava. So you know, it's not impossible. But it's probably, if you experience something like this, it's probably safer to err on the side of precaution, you know, as they say. So in other words, even if we have this as transcendental, devotee never thinks it's transcendental. If you read Madhurya Kadambini, devotee doubts whether, even when Krishna comes and touches him, he's not sure. He's considering, was it hallucination? Was I sleeping? Was I dreaming? Then he goes to consult some senior devotee, and then there is no harm if you are humbler. You have some point?
Yes, remember one example when the lady was on the Harikatha, was listening, as Sarah was explaining, when he mentioned the name of Srimati Radharani, he fell in ecstasy. Then after it was finished, and he approached this lady and humbly asked how she was so anxious he was doing Katha. And he was explaining that he remembered his goat, Radha, named goat. And then when she saw his beard, he also remembered over there.
Yes, sometimes. Yes, externally we can be mistaken, but so that's why you can see that Rupa Goswami begins with vibhava. So what is the stimulant, what is the object of this rasa? So it is Krishna, and this is a devotee, and also a devotee at a pretty high level. Okay, so this was dancing, rolling, then the next one, singing loudly. So we have Radharani given as an example, and then stones began to melt by hearing her singing. Stretching the body, we have Narada Muni, who did actually something very amazing. It says that when Narada, the carrier of the Veena, remembers his Lord Krishna in great ecstasy, he begins to stretch his body so vigorously that his sacred thread breaks. I don't know how much you have to stretch to break your sacred thread. I don't know how you do this. But anyway, Narada Muni is so ecstatic that his thread breaks. And then crying loudly. So we have Lord Shiva, also very surprising. So he hears the flute, he becomes so impressed by the harmony and the melody and the by this music that he starts crying loudly into the space. So much so that the demons become vanquished and the devotees become overwhelmed with joy. So I don't know, you know, you are crying. It's something similar like when you, I guess, a normal person may experience that when he goes to the mountains, and you can see some beautiful place, and you want to, you know, the materialist will shout "Yoo-hoo!" and devotees will shout "Gauranga," but you feel a desire to cry loudly, isn't it? Or there is another one, maybe at a concert, somebody is coming to a concert. You remember this when the Beatles came to New York, right? And in the early days, and they couldn't do the concert because the whole audience of girls were shouting so loudly and the amplifiers were not good enough in those days, in the 60s, so they couldn't sing because they were just shouting in total ecstasy. But we have Lord Shiva, you know, not some girl who is crying by hearing Krishna's flute. Also, the effect is different. The demons are destroyed by his crying. Then the yawning. So yawning. Breathing heavily. This is like heavy wind. This is quite clear. Then neglecting the presence of others. So we mentioned the women in Mathura who ran out to meet Krishna. If you remember, they dropped everything, even in the middle of the marriage ceremony. You know, they were circumambulating their husband, and then they heard Krishna is coming, and they, Krishna, sorry. And then they ran away. And the other example here is the Yagyapatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, who left their husbands and ran to give some prasadam to Krishna. Then drooling or foaming at the mouth. And the next one is laughing like a madman. It's called attahasa. And this laughing is, Prabhupada is saying, when a devotee becomes affected with this mental condition, his love is expressed through the lips. The laughing sounds coming one after another are compared to flowers falling from the creeper of devotion, which grows within the heart of the devotee. So every ha, ha, ha is like a flower falling from this creeper of devotion. Once Dinabandhu was giving a class in Vrindavan, and he's very much into childhood pastimes of Krishna, and he was describing some pastime between Krishna and cowherd boys, and he was so inspired that he started laughing and he couldn't stop. And he was laughing and laughing and laughing, and he was laughing maybe for 10 minutes. He just couldn't stop laughing, speaking about Krishna. I mean, he was speaking about some lila. He couldn't stop laughing. So that's called laughing like a madman, you know. Attahasa. And wheeling of the head, or maybe dizziness. So the gopis are giving us the example, and hiccups. So hiccups, and Purnamasi is telling to one friend of Radharani, my dear daughter, don't be worried because Srimati Radharani is, it says belching, it means it has hiccups. I'm about to offer a remedial measure for these symptoms. Do not cry so loudly. This hiccups is not due to indigestion, it is a sign of ecstatic love for Krishna. I shall arrange to cure this hiccups symptom immediately, don't be worried. So usually hiccups becomes when some air is trapped it's remotely related to belching, it's different, when some air is trapped in the stomach. And the person is hiccuping.
Belch can also mean hiccups.
Can it? Yeah?
Yes, according to the dictionary.
Oh, okay. All right. So, and there is one nerve which is activated. And so sometimes they say that it means somebody remembers you. Do they say here like that? Mm-hmm. So if you're hiccuping, somebody is remembering. Something like that. Yeah. But it can also be some result of some emotional state. So it's interesting. It's one of the anubhavas. But again, there can be many anubhavas. And the next one, the sattvika bhavas, the eight main ones, They are also, in a sense, anubhavas. They are related to anubhavas, but they are more involuntary. There is less choice there. Some of these are also, some of the anubhavas, they also look like not so much choice is there, like these hiccups, for example. But the sattvika bhavas are the standard, very known involuntary transformations in the body. When the mind is transformed, and then it affects the prana, and then the prana affects different elements in the body. Mm-hmm. So this is Prabhupada is explaining here in his translation that depending on which element is touched, then. Yeah, so this is a little down on first page. So when prana touch is mixed with the earth element, then one is stunned. Stunned. How do you say stunned in? Uttarpa. Yeah, so you cannot say anything, you cannot move anything, so you're stunned. And then if it comes, activates water, then one cries. If it touches fire, then there is perspiration. And also, it's not mentioned here, but also change of color. So you can become white or red because of some ecstasy. Then when the life force comes into contact with the sky, the akash, ether, there is complete devastation. And air, so prana with air, there is trembling, faltering of the voice, and standing of the hairs on the body. So depending on the element. So this is more involuntary. And they, so these are ecstatic symptoms, so they are ecstatic, but we have a very scientific description of them. We have different categories and the description how they contact different elements, and 3 degrees: moist, burnt, and dried up. Yeah. So what does it mean, moist, burnt, and dried up? Very funny. There we have a good one. Basically, we can just say that. And. So they are sattvika bhavas. They are involuntary. So these 3 degrees: moist, burnt, and dried up. So what do they mean? So moist, it means it's five direct or 7 indirect sthayi bhavas. Sthayi bhavas. Yeah, 5 direct Shanta Sakya Dasya Vatsalya and Madhurya, seven indirect. This is Bhayana, fear, ghastliness, anger, chivalry, compassion, laughter, and wonder. Yeah, so these are moist, and they are somehow directed to Krishna. Yeah. And then burnt. So that means there was something, but they are burnt. It means outside of these 5 plus 12, plus 7, outside of these 12 rasas. So the example is here about Mother Yashoda, who was anxious and angry when Krishna went to Mathura, and then she became crying, and when they burned, Yashoda was dreaming of the gigantic demon Putana in the courtyard of her house, and she was anxious to seek out Krishna. So this was outside of any, there was nothing to fear, there was nothing, so it's called burnt and then dried up. This is dried up. It's in non-devotees. So it's like you have a plant, and there is a direct plant, and then there is a burnt plant, and there is just some dry leaves from that plant, which some non-devotee can pick up, and it looks like ecstasy. And Prabhupada is saying there are eight symptoms, it's very, very, very famous, eight symptoms of existential ecstatic love. Becoming stunned, perspiring, standing of the hairs on the body, faltering of the voice, trembling of the body, changing of bodily colors, shedding of tears, and devastation. Yeah. And, it doesn't mean trembling out of cold, because you are cold, or doesn't mean perspiring in a hot kirtan or in hot weather. It doesn't mean becoming red out of shame. It means that you are chanting Hare Krishna and something like that happens, or you are reading about Krishna or thinking about Krishna or hearing about Krishna, and then some of these symptoms may appear. So these are satika bhavas. I don't know if I should write them down or you will have them in the book. They are here in the book. Eight satika bhavas. Anyway, I can give you the Sanskrit. The Sanskrit for this. So one is stambha. Stunned. And the other one is Ashru.
Crying.
Huh?
Crying.
Tears. Yeah. And then Sveda, it's sweating. Sweating. And then by Barnya, we have one song. Vivarna, change Vivarna. It's color, change of color in the body. And then five is Romancha.
Yes.
Hairs, yes, Romancha. Romancha Kampas Ruta Ranga Bhaja. You remember? This is hairs standing on end. And then Svara Bheda. So Svara is the Svara Bheda, it's voice. Choking of the voice, faltering of the voice. And then Kampa, Romancha Kampa. Yeah. Kampa is trembling, shivering. And the whole body can tremble, or just some part of the body can tremble. And the last one is pralaya, which is translated as devastation. I understand this is something like falling into unconscious state. And the difference between pralaya and stamba is that in stamba the mind is still active when you are stunned, and in pralaya the mind is also like paralyzed. Yeah. And so again, the elements, prana is touching, this is earth, ashu is water, sveda is fire, color is also fire, and then hair, trembling, and voice, these three are air, and this one is ether. These are the symptoms. So now you know. Everything is clear, right? Any questions here? Questions, comments? So you can see that discussing Krishna directly is more ecstatic than just discussing some ornaments that are coming from high level of purity and advancement in devotional service. Yeah, all the devotees can have all the symptoms, but this is one more topic. I don't know, we can just discuss it. There's just two or three more things left here, so we can just discuss them for 15 minutes and be done with it for the day, or we can make a small break and then we'll finish it after the break. What do you prefer? So break and without break. Okay. Who says have a break? Who says no need for break? Okay. It's like more or less. Okay. Let's count. Okay. One more time. Who says let's have a break? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And who says we don't have a break? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, let's have a very short break. All right, Hare Krishna. So, your question was about the symptoms. How many symptoms are, which symptoms can be manifest by whom? So, there is another classification here that's given by Srila Prabhupada at the end, the degrees of ecstatic symptoms. So he is giving smoky, blazing, and shining. Smoky, blazing, and shining. And there is one more. So what are these? They are called, smoky dhumaita, it's smoke, jwalita, blazing, and dipta, shining, and one is uddipta, brightly burning. Anybody wants these Sanskrit terms on the board, or maybe these? So Prabhupada is saying smoky, blazing, shining, but there is one more, brightly shining. So, smoky is when there is one symptom, a little bit, you know. you start speaking and your voice trembles a little bit, you know, or you get some little water in your eyes, but not like really crying, you know, but just a little. Just like I remember, we were with Niranjana Swami at some festival. I forgot where it was, somewhere, I think it was in Russia. And then as we were leaving, then the devotees were seeing him off and they were crying, and some were really crying, you know, so they were taught in so many tears. And then there was one, if you know Dhruva, one from America, from one Guru Kuli, so he was looking at this, and Maharaj says, you don't see this much in America. And I said, well, I read that when Prabhupada was leaving, devotees were also crying. And Miranda Swami said, yes, but the tears were smaller. Tears were not so big. Anyway, so you can see there are different degrees of manifestation of these symptoms. More tears, sometimes you just have a little tear, sometimes, as one devotee said, he couldn't believe that, you know, when he read Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the tears were just springing forth from Mahaprabhu's, they were moistening people several meters around. And then he said that he couldn't believe it, but he said one day he was chanting japa at the Yamuna, and he was so crying that his whole kurta was wet and his dhoti was wet. He was totally wet. He thought he hadn't thought it's possible, actually, and somehow or other he felt he got some emotion, and he was crying like that. So there are he wasn't bragging. He was just saying that. You know, hey guys, hold on, keep going, you know, sometimes Krishna gives a gift and gives you mercy. And so there are different degrees. So one of them, little bit, it's smoky, you know. Just, you know, just little smoke is there, like fire is not very visible. Then the bigger one is blazing. So that means blazing, it means two, three symptoms are there. So there is crying, trembling of the voice, and maybe change of the color, for example. Yes, some of this.
Mm. Or you said smoky is
dhumayeta. And blazing, this is jvalita. So this is already blazes forth. So there are two, three symptoms. And when there are four or five symptoms, this is dipta. This is brightly shining and burning. So many symptoms are there. So four or five. So what it like? You can be crying, sweating, change of color, and standing, hair standing on end, and trembling. Yeah, so all of these can be there. And there is also uddipta when all eight are present. So all eight, this is, as you're saying, this is for Radharani, as Prabhupada is saying, this is characteristic of Mahabhava. So this is very rare. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Jvalita. Yes. Jvalita. And dipta and uddipta. Dumaita, jvalita, dipta and uddipta.
Jvalita, there are three or four.
Jvalita, two or three. Dipta, four or five. Prabhupada is actually mentioning this also here.
Dumaita, just one.
Just one, and doesn't have to be especially significant. So Prabhupada is giving different, we have different examples. Some of them are funny. One is stunned. So Uddhava is speaking to Vidura. One day the gopis became stunned when Krishna, in the dress of a gardening maid, entered the greenhouse and enlivened them with joking and laughter. Then when Krishna left the greenhouse, the gopis were seeing Krishna so ecstatically that it was as though both their minds and eyes were following him. So this is So being stunned, Prabhupada is saying that out of them being stunned is especially significant. This is the, you know, when the body is stops, and maybe you know this, how, you know, when Krishna is leaving for pasture grounds, and the whole village is going out to see, and everybody is seeing him off, and all the boys are going, and Krishna is looking at here and there, and the gopis are trying to get out and look, and also to see him as he's going to the pasture grounds. Some of them know that they will meet him at noon somewhere in the forest. Some know they will not meet him. They don't know. You know, in the morning when Krishna eats, then he is leaning on one hand, and Dhanishta is bringing some food, and as she is walking, she steps on one of his fingers, imperceptibly. And Krishna immediately becomes very happy, because if she steps on this finger, it means they will meet in this grove. If she steps on this finger, it means he will meet with Radharani in Radhakunda. If she steps on this finger, that means in Govardhan. Depending on which finger, if on this, then it's Suryakun, and this, that's so depending on the finger, he already know. Aha! So they have their code where they will meet. But in the morning they still don't know, so some still don't know whether they meet, or they know that they will not meet. And so Krishna is leaving playing the flute, and everybody is, you know, Mother Yashoda is stopping him and telling that please protect him. But then finally he manages to get away, and he's going with the cows, and then all gopis want to see Krishna, and one gopi tries to get out, but the relatives are saying, you are staying home, you are not getting out of the door, because you are not to look at Krishna. He is such a thief, he can steal with his eyes. He will steal your determination and your purity with his eyes. So so then she's so unhappy, she's staying home, she's trying to do something, she's churning butter. She's supposed to churn butter, but instead of yogurt, she's churning some green peas, you know, into water. And she's doing something. And then she sees that the parents are not looking, so she's going to the door, and she looks into the keyhole, and she looks, and she's hoping at least to get a glimpse of Krishna. You know, she's looking into this, and Krishna is passing through, and, you know, playing on the flute, and then he looks around, and he looks her directly into the eye. You know, and she's standing there, and she sees Krishna's eye, and she's totally stunned. And so they already left long ago, the parents are coming back, you know, coming, and she's standing like this. They open the door. So this is stunned in Vrindavan. Yeah. So there are different ways how they are becoming stunned and perspiring. This one is very funny. Perspiration caused by fearfulness was exhibited by Raktaka, one of the servants of Krishna. One day Krishna dressed himself just like Abhimanyu, the husband of Radharani. You know this story. He went to he went to dress as Abhimanyu, he went to Radharani, and then he told Jatila that, look, I heard that today there is going to be some, Krishna is such a rascal, you know. He started chastising Krishna, so she was very happy to hear that. And then he said, I heard that today Krishna is going to dress as Abhimanyu, and he will come and he will try to cheat you. So please, you tell him that you know that he is Krishna, and then he will answer, no, I am your son, I'm Abhimanyu. So there you will know that he is a cheater, you know. So you prepare some, you collect some cow dung and throw the cow dung at him, and And Krishna was inside with Radharani, and then Abhimanyu comes home, not suspecting anything. And then, Jatila says, "Hey, you! I know you! You are just a cheater!" She says, "Mother, why? Why? Don't call me mother! I know you are a cheater! I know you are Krishna!" He says, "No, mother, I'm your son! I'm your mother!" "Aha! I caught you!" And they throw cow dung at him, and he doesn't know what to do, where to go. Anyway, so one day Krishna dressed himself just like Abhimanyu, the husband of Radharani. Abhimanyu did not like Radharani's association with Krishna. And therefore, when Raktaka saw Krishna in the dress of Abhimanyu and thus mistook his identity, he began to strongly rebuke him. As soon as Raktaka finally understood that it was Krishna in the dress of Abhimanyu, he began perspiring. This perspiration, it was caused by fearfulness. So this is one example from Vrindavan. Perspiration. And then standing of hairs on the body. So when Yashoda saw, we have two examples of the universal form with standing of the hairs. Yashoda saw universal form in the mouth of Krishna. Arjuna saw, who else speaks about hairs standing on end and being very ecstatic? Who else was experiencing the Sadbhuta Rasa of Vishwarupa? We know him very well, and we read, he spoke some very famous verses that we know. This is then, huh? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a little less famous.
Sanjaya.
Sanjaya, yes, thank you. Sanjaya, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. So he's also saying that I'm thrilled again and again when I think about Vishwarupa. So, hair standing on end, faltering of the voice. So Radharani is asking, did I start the recording? Yeah. Radharani asking Yashoda to stop Akrura from taking Krishna to Mathura. Brahma, when he started praying, his voice was faltering. You can imagine such a big person, his voice was faltering. And one of Krishna's friends spoke to Krishna last, "My dear friend, your flute was given to your servant Patri, and when I asked him to return it, he began speaking in a faltering voice, and his complexion became yellow." So, you have faltering voice and the yellow complexion. So this is, you can see, this is not the smoky, this is the burning already. This is jvalita. Two symptoms are there. Then trembling. So of course Radharani was trembling when Krishna was fighting with Shankasura. So there are many cases when trembling is there. And you can read many of these descriptions in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then changing of bodily color. The gopis addressed the Lord Krishna thus, "Dear Krishna, due to separation from you, all of the denizens of Vrindavan have changed their color. And because of this change of color, even the great sage Narada was thinking of Vrindavan as a white island in the ocean of milk." So that's in separation. And in jubilation, the hue turns red. Prabhupada is saying so. When Krishna lifted Govardhan, the Vrijabhasis also became pale, and Indra became pale, and tears. So tears, and here you can see very scientific description. When the tears are happy, then they are cold. When tears are unhappy, then they are hot. And we have the example of Rukmini. So when Krishna and Rukmini were talking, Rukmini became frightened of separation from Krishna, and therefore she began scratching the earth with her red lotus-like nails. So which bhava is this, scratching the earth?
Anubhava,
yeah, that's what he does. Because she was shedding tears, the black ointment from her eyes was dripping, along with the tears onto her breasts, which were covered with kumkum powder. Rukmini was so aggrieved that her voice was choked up, so she manifested many of these. Her voice choked up, she was crying, and then she was devastated. She fell in pralaya, ultimately. Krishna manifested four hands at that time. So tears and devastation. So devastation. We have gopis in rasa dance, so when there are two examples. One, when Krishna, when they were searching and searching and searching, and then finally, tasam avirabhu chori smayama anamada. So, Krishna, all of a sudden, Krishna comes out like a personified god, god of love, with the garland, smiling at them, and they become stunned. Stunned, and not stunned, they enter pralaya, they are completely overwhelmed. So, but the other one, when Krishna disappeared, so they also became devastated. So these two are descriptions of the sattvika bhava, of pralaya, devastation. And they can be, so these are the eight symptoms. They can be in 4 degrees. The fourth degree is for Radharani, when all of them are manifest. And the smoky, the beginning, is could be controlled. And the example is Gargamuni. Gargamuni, who was performing some ritualistic ceremonies in Nanda Maharaja's house, and he could control his symptoms. And this, even the second one, it seems, sometimes can be controlled. But when 4 or 5 symptoms are there, so this is dipta, so that already cannot be controlled. So this devotee cannot control this. And further, the last part here is the reflection of them. When they are not truly there, but the reflection of them.
Abhas.
So there are 4 categories here. Reflection. And this is Ratyabhas, which we discussed in the first part of the Nectar of Devotion. Reflection of Baba. Yeah. Reflection of 8 vikaras. Sometimes they are called Ashtavikara, 8 transformations of the body. Yeah. So there is Ratyabhas. Then there is Satika Abhasa. And then there is Nihsattva. Nihsattva. And then there is Pratipa. So pratipa is what we are not in. it's by enemies. It's some ecstasy experienced by enemies. So sometimes Kamsa would get stunned or something. So even though it's a vikara, it's not what we interest in. Then nihsattva is also something we don't really like. This is imitation. By practice. And if someone is not talented at all, then okay, he has to use some chili powder into the eyes, or he has to do something else to to get the to impress the people. But Satvika Bhasa and Ratya Bhasa. So Ratya Bhasa, this is Prabhupada is speaking about Pratibimba Ratya Bhasa. So it means impersonalist and other motivated people. So because they have strong desire and they know that Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan can give them these fulfill these desires, then they can experience some ecstasy. So this is Pratibimba. This is also what it's a reflected, which we don't like. But Nikshatva, Prabhupada is describing here, sometimes it is found. Well, of course, even for impersonalists, Prabhupada is manifesting his mood here, saying that the chanting of Hare Krishna, however, is so nice and transcendental that it will eventually melt even the hearts of persons who are impersonalists. And we see this can happen. And so many devotees were joining, even though being impersonalists before. I was a Buddhist before. My heart is not melted yet, but I accept that pure devotion is the only proper path and the goal. Rupa Goswami says that the impersonalist symptoms are simply reflections of ecstatic love, not the real thing. And sometimes it is found that when staunch logicians, without any trace of devotional service and without actually understanding the transcendental glories of the Lord, so hard heart, sit down to hear the glories of the Lord, they appear to be melting and shedding tears. In this connection, there is a statement by a devotee who addresses the Lord thus: "My dear Mukunda, I cannot properly express the glories of your pastimes. Even when the non-devotees hear of your glorious pastimes, they become affected and shed tears and start to tremble. Such non-devotees are not actually melted, they are hard-hearted, but the influence of the glories of the Lord is so great that even the non-devotees sometimes shed tears." So the rasa is moved. It may be still motivated, they are not devotees and they don't understand who Krishna is, but the rasa itself is reflected in their material heart and they are crying. So this means, how do we say this? Non-devotees, it can be not necessarily even non-devotees, it can be some neophyte devotees. We can say how shall we say, reflected emotions from Katha, Krishna Katha, and association. You know, sometimes when you did you start laughing when you came into the room after the break? Yes, I think yeah, you came just at the end of the joke, and everybody was laughing. And you also started laughing. Yeah, it's natural. When everybody is laughing, then we all start laughing. Even if, you know, whatever is my condition, I start laughing. So that's why good association is so important. Sometimes we can get the emotions. And I have one funny video, one devotee gave it to me, about the evening Moscow subway. You know, people returning from work. And you can see their faces, you know. This is such a heavy city, you know. It's and they are returning, and everybody is like that, you know. And then there is one guy who starts laughing, and he starts laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And then somebody else starts laughing, and then somebody else starts laughing, and then after like 5 minutes, the whole carriage, the whole coach, they are bursting out of laughter. They all laugh just because somebody started laughing. So emotions can be reflected. Or Shashinanda Maharaj is saying how when there is some cremation of somebody, and then somebody starts crying. His secretary Sadanandi departed. So he told himself that I will not cry because I shouldn't cry, and I have to give a talk and I have to do this. I will not cry. But then he said everybody was crying, and he said he just couldn't control himself. He also had to cry. I mean, it's just natural. So our hearts are moved when we are in a in an environment, some special environment. Did you hear about the story how Mahadyuti Prabhu joined? He was in Hawaii. He was a treasurer of some yogi center. Some impersonalists, and then the devotees they started preaching, and they asked them, can we occupy one hall in your center? So they were nice people. They said, yeah, okay, sure, you can do. So then they were having kirtans and everything, and then they would come to him and they said to him, hey, look, we can do wonderful festival. We can make a Sunday love feast, and we will cook a lot of sweet rice, and we will do this, and we will do that. What do you think of this? And we will speak philosophy, read Bhagavad Gita. And he would say, yeah, sounds good. So then they said, okay, let's give us some money. We will. So basically after, I don't remember, a few weeks or a few months, the whole treasury of this society became zero. It all went on sweet rice. <All these. laughs> And then one day he's saying that he was sitting there trying to meditate, you know, just trying to meditate on nothingness, you know, and on top, he said, the devotees were having kirtan and they were going wild. They were just, you know, shouting, screaming, dancing, and you know, it was so loud. They were, you know, he thought that the building will fall down. So he was trying to meditate, and they were, you know, then finally he became so angry, he decided, this is it, I'm just going and throwing them out. So he went, you know, and he went into the door, you know, and he just opened the door, and he had the words ready. He already everything prepared. He said, stop now, get out. You know, that was his prepared phrase, you know. He opened the door, he stepped inside, you know, and he, you know, entered this room, all these devotees, Hare Krishna. And he opened his mouth and he couldn't believe. He said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And he said, what am I doing? And then he started dancing, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then he said, wow, anyway. And then he became happy. And then, so that's how he became a devotee. You know? he was telling this story. So this is the power of association and the atmosphere, and power of the holy names, and power of the rasa that's there in the books, in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Goswami books, and what we have from Srila Prabhupada. You can see how nectar of devotion is filled with nectar, and so many beautiful, beautiful stories, and beautiful uddipans, the stimulants, the elements which can actually stimulate something in our heart. Hare Krishna. Questions, points here? Yes?
I want to know if this reflected emotions from Katha. So does that mean, like you explain now, that someone was having a externally exhibiting these emotions, and one had this unstashed by, like you said, crying, or just by hearing? Was someone had to exhibit these emotions in this environment in order for this person to experience them?
No, they hear Krishna Katha, but in this Krishna Katha already all the elements of rasa are there, and that stirs the heart of the hearer. or in the case that this Mahadyuti Prabhu I mentioned, so he actually entered, I mean, it was just that everybody was experiencing some ecstasy, and it was so powerful that it just completely, in one half of a second, completely turned his, changed his mood.
So it can happen to anyone just hearing the holy name of Krishna?
Yeah, if the person agrees to open the heart. That's what Prabhupada is saying, even impersonalists and these people, you know, they, their hearts will be changed.
But their resemblance of the original ones.
Yeah, this is the reflection of the ecstasies which are parts of rasa.
Because the heart is not pure and the cause is not.
Yeah, vibhava is missing. So these satvika bhavas are not real because vibhava is missing. Vibhava is the basis. Vibhava means that there is a devotee who has surrendered to Krishna. Prabhupada is describing who is a devotee. And his object of attention is Krishna. That means he accepts Krishna as the Lord, as the Master, as the Supreme Friend, as the Absolute Truth, as God. And so when that is there, then this will be transcendental bhava. If that is not there, if bhava is not there, then that the heart may still be stirred, but this will be a reflected bhava. Some elements of rasa will be there, reflected, but not the full taste of rasa. It's still not what's in store as the goal for us.
Yeah,
but usually that means something is impressed on his heart, and maybe in the future life he will continue, or later. You see that even enemies who hate Krishna, that they become devotees. Yeah, and what to speak about some people? What to speak about some impersonalist or somebody? So unless they commit some bad offenses, that can come quick. If they do some offenses, that may be a long time until they accept. And our task is to create a society that a person, even without very high determination, will be finally actually able to join and progress. So even if the person with weakness of the heart can still find enough attraction in our society to go on. And actually, if we didn't lose devotees, we would be 10 times bigger. And we don't speak about attracting new devotees, we speak about not losing devotees. We would be 10 times bigger. So we have to understand and find ways to accommodate and accept and support every devotee. It's also good to find some devotees that are, you know, maybe somewhere further away and try to somehow bring them, help them to associate with devotees again. And this is, in fact, the wealth of our society. This is what we want. We want many mature, happy devotees. Like Devaki is saying that when she comes to Germany, that her biggest grief is that where are all the old devotees? Yeah, where are all the old devotees? So there are different reasons for that, this is a big discussion. Of course, the main idea is care about devotees and the atmosphere, and there are many things that need to be done, and we have to think how to help everybody to happily advance and be happy in Krishna consciousness.
There is this five powerful processes which even no five can experience.
Even without faith can experience bhava, yes, by slight touch.
Which kind of category that's also want to say, this is reflections of
If they are without aparat, then they can achieve actually bhava very quickly. So sometimes that can be some element of bhava, and then the person can again go down, can again fall. Or a person can experience some reflected bhava, some reflected ecstasy also. But the statement of Rupa Goswami and statement of Chaitanya Charitamrita and statement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you can actually very quickly achieve bhava, real full-fledged ecstasy in relationship with Krishna by these five processes. Rajamandala, Rajadham, places of or other places of Krishna's pastimes, holy name, just associating with devotees, just being with devotees. Krishna says this in the 11th canto, that of all the methods of yoga, I am not conquered by anything except by one thing, when somebody associates with devotees. So this is the best yoga, sadhu sangha. Just be with devotees. And of course Bhagavatam and worshipping the Lord in His deity form, these are the five most powerful. As long as we avoid offenses, then we will feel ecstasy, and we feel something, more or less, as Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami say, that without rasa you cannot continue. There is some rasa, more or less. You just have to weed out the unnecessary, the anarthas, so that the true fruits are growing, and that we taste the real, you know, juice from the real fruit, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to give out. He's come to sell fruits of love of Godhead. All right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One more thing. I was for the test, the test will be, you can use any books, and the test will be very simple. You just have to describe any place from the Bhagavatam where rasa is experienced, and point out the five elements of the rasa. Describe the five elements of the rasa. Experience rasa. Vibhava in two parts, anubhava, satvika, vyabhichari, and sthayi. These five. It's pretty simple. All right? Is it clear?
Any place.
Which was the place?
Bhagavatam.
Yeah, but which was the place in the Bhagavatam?
Any. You can even take the Bhagavad Gita if you want. You can describe this from the Bhagavad Gita. There is Arjuna experiencing what is sthayi bhava? So let's analyze what's sthayi bhava of Arjuna in 11th chapter. Later ghastliness, first adbhuta, he was amazed. And then what were the vyabhichari bhavas? We haven't studied yet. Okay, so he was ashamed, humble, a little afraid that he offended Krishna, yes? And then satvika bhavas, hair standing on end, and he's trembling, anubhava, he's offering obeisances to Krishna, he is offering prayers to Krishna. And Vibhava, yes, we have Arjuna and Krishna. Krishna, universal form in this, his friend showing this universal form. So that, you know, just like that, just it basically takes 1 minute to describe. Just take any example that you like and describe that. And I think we can do this. Aloud, just all of us, so that we can hear. All right.
When will you have this?
On the last day. which I don't yet know which of these days is it going to be. Or we can have it on also on, I think Ananta Prabhu is planning some islet, yes, so we can have it somewhere in the nature, in the picnic, describing as one of the anubhava, sadhika bhava, anubhava of drooling. Hare Krishna. My humble obeisances.